Welcome to Our Pod. And by that, I mean on Wednesdays we read. I'm Hannah.
I'm Laura.
And we are two best friends who do a deep dive into a new book series, one book at a time. Right now it is dun, 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 the Year of the Dresden. AKA on Wednesdays we Dresden or one of the other many suggestions we got for this. I said I would try to stick one in as much as we could. So, but before we get into Harry Dresden and his questionable business choices, Laura, what are you reading, watching, and or enjoying?
Harry Dresden's questionable business
life choices.
I was going to say not just business choices, just choices in general.
That's fair.
What we need to be more critical of, I think.
He's the worst.
Oh my gosh. He is something else. So, Hannah, I have been listening to the Poppy War trilogy on Libro
FM. Yes, you have.
I forgot how much I love this series. Like, this is my third time now reading the Poppy War.
Wow, that's so many times, Laura.
I know. I love it so much. And I feel like each time I read it, I'm like remembering new things or like discovering new things about it. And like this read through, I'm like, I forgot like how much of a character like Robin was, that they loved Robin so much from school. And then he's just like killed in the first battle that they have in the war. And I'm like recognizing some of these things about Neja that I was like, okay, I did not put these things together, you know, previously in the first book, where I'm like, oh, in the second book, you're like, oh, it totally makes sense. But in the first book, I feel like I am still with Rin in that kind of la la land of everything is wonderful. And how could
I finally get this opportunity? Like, yeah.
Right. How could Alton have all this trauma? Or how could Neja not actually be the person that I thought was? And so it's each time I'm like rereading this, I feel so connected to the characters, and I feel like deeply connected to Zhang and especially Alton. I love those characters so much, and even though they are toxic and have so much trauma, it's just such a beautifully written book. Like, what a great first book in a trilogy. I'm always just so impressed with that. I'm not yet into the second book, but I just like to sit with the Poppy War for a while because that one is just so good. And the narrator, Emily Wu Zeller, A+ narrator. I absolutely love her acting work that she does when she reads books. Just great. No notes. Phenomenal.
Oh, good. I love it.
But I also, Hannah, so I did start several series last year, and I finished this year. So I finished the Broken Earth trilogy.
Oh my gosh. Stone Sky. I'm not allowed to know anything about this until we read it on the pod.
Yes. So I will keep this very brief, but I feel like in the first book, it was like mind-blowing, a lot of twists. I was shocking, gasping at points. The second book had a very big change of pace to the point where I was like, what is the third book in the trilogy going to be like? And I was almost a little nervous. I should not have been, because there was immense payoff in the third book. For whatever reason, I feel like Jemison just chose to slow things down and let us sit with the characters and the things that were happening with them a little more in the second book.
Yeah.
And give us more of their background and journey. And in the third book, it's like we dive right back in. There's action, a bunch of answers, and we finally get to like close some of these loops, which it was really satisfying to actually have that in the third book, because I was worried with the pacing in the second book. I'm like, how is this going to wrap up? It doesn't seem possible. But I should not have been worried, because excellent ending. Excellent ending. I have seen some criticism of that trilogy recently online, because people are like, this is not really a fantasy, it's more of a lit fic. And I was like, maybe that's why I like it so much, because it's more of a lit fic.
I also feel like too many people are like way too much like fantasy has to be this. And it's like you and I talking about thrillers where I'm like, well, I think some literary fiction is still a thriller. It's just like a little bit higher class. So I think sometimes people are a little bit too willing to be like, well, if it's not this, it's not fantasy. And I'm like, well, it's still fantasy. Like Dresden Files is
I feel
still
like people aren't
fantasy.
willing to give book genres like enough wiggle room to say that they can handle deeper topics. You know what I mean? Where I think like everyone's like, it's fantasy, it's gotta just be swords and dragons and nothing more. But that's absolutely not true. You can definitely apply themes that are in our real world, like situations that we would be dealing with in our real world, to a fictional piece of work and have them relate to people. I don't know. I really thought it was a great, great book. And the way that Jemisin writes the complications between relationships and how you and I think have talked about this before, maybe not on mic, but like just in our personal lives, how you might have a relationship with someone and I might have a relationship with that same person, but those two relationships look very different, and the way that we see that one person can look very different. And I thought that that was something that Jemisin did really well. And I
Oh,
also feel
good.
like the villains that Jemisin writes are some of the most treacherous and nasty yet true villains that I have come across. They're just extremely real in
You're
this
making me
fantasy
so
world.
jealous. I have to wait to read this book.
That's my goal.
I know.
That's my goal, to make you
Yeah,
so
just to make me
jealous.
so jealous that I'll
But
actually read it.
it's so good. I can't wait to see your reaction to this. It's gonna be great. You're gonna love it because it's
Oh,
so
good.
good.
I can't wait to read it, in the million years and many other books that we have to cover for
Oh,
the
yes.
podcast.
Somebody the other day messaged me on Instagram, and well, it was Reading Beagle. They had shared our recent episode, and they were like, "Oh, this was really funny." And I was like, "Oh, well, there's more of that to come because we're gonna be covering Harry Dresden forever."
So many books out there with Harry Dresden as the main character. My fiance was like, "You know that there is a season, like a one season show of Dresden
Oh,
Files." And I
yeah.
was like,
I'm very
"Oh, we
aware of
are
that.
aware. We are aware. Yes." So
Very,
much
very
fun.
aware of that show. Yeah. Do not worry. We know about the show.
I'm sure it will be some bonus episodes at some
Oh,
point.
yes. I cannot wait to watch that. That will be
You
just
can't.
one of the joys of my life,
Feel like
will
you're
be
being
watching that show.
sarcastic. I don't know why you're being sarcastic, Laura.
Well, here's the thing. My sarcasm works so much better than Harry Dresden, so I'm gonna run with it.
I don't know what you're talking about. He's the best at sarcasm. Ugh.
Yeah, he's the best at a lot of things. Hannah, I also have come to the realization that I just must really like TV shows that are based on video games.
Oh,
Because I
I think
watched
that makes
Fallout
sense.
and it was so good. It was so good. I loved it. And I see these people now that are like hating on it, and they're like, "Oh, the writing was bad, and this was bad, and that was bad." And I'm like, "You know what? Shut up. Quit hating on a good thing." Like, sometimes I feel like if something gets too much hype, people want to just like attack it because it's
That
getting so
is
much
very
hype.
true.
And I kind of hate that. I kind of hate that. And it's just like, just let a good thing be. If you don't like it, don't watch it. No one's forcing your hand and like sticking you in a chair and they're like, "Watch Fallout on Prime. You must watch it." Like, nobody's doing that. What a weird, like, horse punishment to watch an awesome TV show. So if you don't like it, don't watch it. But it's really good, Hannah. I don't know if have you seen any of it
I
yet?
have I almost watched it and then I just wasn't feeling it because I was
Okay.
playing a video game this weekend and it was too many video
Oh.
games,
Too
so
many video game related things. Okay.
yeah, too much.
Well, it's a post-apocalyptic situation where it like reimagines if like during the Cold War, if things had kind of like gone differently, if research would have went like a different direction, more towards like the creation of like nuclear, like atom bombs, like nuclear weapons, instead of like a technological, like electronic age, more like we're in now. And so the atmosphere of everything, it's very much like the setting is, everything looks like it's the 1950s, 60s. That's how people dress. That's how their cars look and all of their radios and stuff like that, their televisions. So that is kind of neat because the wardrobe was cool and everything. And it's told in kind of a, not a linear timeline, but because there's a lot of flashbacks. I shouldn't say not a super linear timeline, but there's a lot of flashbacks to kind of piece together the story. The acting is really, really good. I know you watched Yellow Jackets. The
Yes, I did.
star of Yellow Jackets is in Fallout. And then
What?
so is, go ahead.
I mean, there are many stars of that. So,
Oh,
oh,
I
okay.
guess.
Yeah, I recognize the girl. Yeah, the one who played Jackie.
Okay, well, she plays
Yeah.
Lucy in Fallout, and
Okay.
I was chatting with my friend online about Fallout, and he was like, "Did you recognize her?" And I was like, "No, I haven't seen her other shows." And he said, "She looks like Emma Stone." And I was like, "Ah, I could totally see that you're getting those vibes because they do have like kind of similar facial features."
Yeah, that is
But
very fair.
it's post-apocalyptic. Walton Goggins is also in this, and I was like the rest of the people who have watched the show and liked it, obsessed with Walton Goggins. He was so good. And he plays the ghoul because in this story, there are a lot of people who have been exposed to high levels of radiation. And in response to that, they become zombie-like creatures. And there's a lot of like animals that have been, you know, they respond to this radiation by mutating and these new creatures develop and everything. So in the events of this apocalyptic situation, there's all of those things happening on the surface, but then there are these underground bunkers that people are living in called vaults. And there's several different vaults throughout the United States. And Lucy is from one of these vaults, and she is ends up having to go on a mission to save her father, who has been taken from the vaults. And it is not the smoothest of missions, but and a lot of things are uncovered, and it's just really great acting, great sets, and I don't know what people are talking about that they think the writing's bad because I thought the story was great. So maybe just change the channel if you don't like it.
Laura has some news for you guys. You
You
can
don't
change
have
the
to watch it.
channel. That's
You don't have
amazing.
to watch it. But yeah, really good show.
Well,
And
good.
I want you to watch it so we can talk about some of the characters because some people were commenting on some of the things that happened between some of the characters and like, that doesn't make sense. And I thought that it made total sense considering their situations. And I really want to just talk about it, but I'm not gonna spoil anymore because I
Yes.
kind of explained most of the show.
Future TV Tuesday episode, guys.
Yes, definitely. That would be great. And then I also started watching the new season of The Circle on
Oh,
Netflix.
dear.
Well, you know what? I said, oh dear, as well, because this season they've decided to bring in an AI bot to compete on The Circle,
Oh,
and
I had heard about
things
that.
are already messy. And it's like, why introduce this when things are already a disaster? They can't. I'm just not a fan of that being a
No.
thing on this show, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long I will like continue to watch that just because that kind of annoys me that they made that decision.
Yeah, that's
But
interesting.
yeah, it's a weird choice and maybe not the best choice, but I get it that they think that that's like relevant considering this is a show where people have to determine whether or not somebody is who they say they are. But at the same time, I don't know. Not the biggest fan of that. So, and it kind of ruins a lot of the fun of the show for
Yeah,
me,
it does. Like, it doesn't
honestly.
make it really something you want to participate in anymore.
I
So,
know. It kind of just leaves a bad taste in my mouth where I'm just like, not too
yeah.
much fun anymore. And I haven't finished the season, obviously, but if the AI wins, I'll be mad, like
Yeah, that
super
would
mad.
stink.
It's gonna upset me.
Yeah.
So, and
Fair enough.
it's just really not fair because it knows all these different strategies and has watched all the other seasons. Like, it even mentions like everyone is sleeping, so I have all this time to work on my strategy and develop my goals that I'm going to get into this group or strategize with. And like this responses that it has and everything are just perfect, and everyone is commenting on it like, wow, what a perfect response that it had. They don't obviously know that it's AI, but I don't know. It just was kind of a groan for me, and not the biggest fan of that. But Fallout is great. Absolutely great.
Watch
So
Fallout, not The Circle. Two very
watch
similar
Fallout.
shows, so similar you won't notice the
I mean, you will notice because Walton Goggins is very dreamy and he is not on The Circle. So you will notice that. But
Okay, fair enough. Okay, one different thing, Laura. Name a different
one
thing than The
difference, one
Circle and
difference.
Fallout.
I think that's the only way you can tell them apart. But Hannah, what have you been reading and watching?
So for reading, I've had a couple of YA queer romances because that's been
Yay.
something I've been enjoying this year. The first of which is called They Both Die at the End.
Oh, I've heard of this one.
My gosh, everyone tells you it destroys you, everyone.
Yep.
And then you're listening
Yep.
to it and you're like, but I didn't expect it to destroy me this much.
But
But
not this much.
not this much. It was really mean that you did this to me. I'm so sorry. So They Both Die at the End is a book by Adam Silvera. And it's like this kind of I wouldn't say dystopian because like very real world type thing. But the only difference is there is this company pretty much called Deathcast that knows when you're the day you're going to die. So at midnight, you're notified that you're
I
going to
don't like
die.
that.
And then you get one final day on Earth. And it follows two teenage boys. I believe they're 17 and 18, who both receive the call and they have one day and they end up connecting via this app where it's called Final Friend. And one of them doesn't, he only has one friend. He's pretty closed off from the world. And his dad is incredibly sick and in a coma. And it's him kind of dealing with the grief of like trying to spend his final day making it worth it when a lot of his life is spent in fear. And then another boy who has suffered through a lot of tragedy, but has like a great friend group, but through circumstances has kind of taken away from them for a while. And so he, you know, spends his final day with this other person. And it's so cute because it's two people trying to come to terms with their life and what they don't get to live. And
Sure.
it's really beautiful the way they talk about it, the way they talk about their life beforehand, and the way it shows like how this type of system like really messes with people because you can find out like
Yeah.
there's someone who gets the call and she like is in incredible denial because like her ex-boyfriend or her ex-fiance works for the company. So she's just convinced the entire time that he set her up. And like, and it was just, it's so well written. It's called Deathcast number one. So I wonder if Adam Silvera will ever like come back to this. I know that he kind of wrote
Sure.
like a prequel or something, to this, but it was just really beautiful. He does this thing where like it kind of switches to different characters. And I loved like the opening of any character was like, you know, so and so didn't get the call today, so they are not dying today. You know, and you kind of find out and you get this. And it's just like it's really beautiful to watch two people like grieve their lives and also like get to spend time with those they love. And kind of try to have their last day on their own terms. I thought it was really sweet and really sad. I cried a lot during this book.
Oh,
Because, you
it
know,
sounds really sad, but also like I feel so uncomfortable with that whole premise that there's like a notification like, oh, today's the last day. Like, oh
And
gosh.
it's really hard because like it makes it does it really well, and it's called, I guess it's referenced as speculative fiction, and I really liked it because there are certain things like, hey, what would you do on your last day on Earth? Like you can't travel, so like they have these like places where you can go to like have final experiences, you know? And there are certain places where it's like, oh, well, like they live in New York, so it's like you ride the subway free on the day you die, and it kind of shows how communities will like try to make sure that those who are like living out their final day get the time and space they need. And I did really enjoy that.
Sure.
I thought that was really nice. And it was beautiful. I really highly recommend it, but only if you are in the right headspace.
Yeah.
Because it is different. And like you
Sometimes books about death are really difficult.
yeah. But on the other side of things, I also listened to this book called Gwen and Art Are Not in Love by Lex Croucher.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this one too.
This book is hilarious and adorable, and I had the best time listening to it. So
Good.
I opened it and I was like, oh, this is like a retelling of like King Arthur. No, it's not that. It's like King Arthur was alive hundreds of years ago, but it's like during a court reign where like everyone's still obsessed with King Arthur and like the stories. And so like everything's kind of built on it. They're like, oh, well, I have like six brother or six cousins named Gawain. Like everyone's obsessed with this. So it's two people who are betrothed to be married. One of them is a princess, and one of them is Art, who is like kind of a he's a lesser known descendant of Arthur, so like he has prestige behind his name.
Sure.
And they hate each other so much. And then Gwen catches Art kissing a boy, but Art is a little bit scared because she could out him at this moment to get out of the engagement, and so he finds a way to blackmail her about the fact that she is in love with a female knight, so she is also queer. And so it's just kind of like a love story, not about the two of them getting together, but through them finding other people to be in love with. It was
Sure.
adorable. I loved the dialogue. It was so funny. Like it was just like it's olden day, but kind of has a very modern way of speaking in a way that works. Like there's a point where Art is upset that his dad sent him a letter, and his body man is like, "Would you like me to read it for you, sir?" And he goes, "No, you're terrible at the voices." I'm like, I laughed out loud. But like, it's really nice because you have these moments that could be kind of bad. Like, he is about to blackmail her because she is queer as well. But like, he doesn't treat it as like what you're doing is wrong or dirty. He treats it as like, hey, we both have a secret. We both want to live our lives. Let's just not tell people about it. And I'm like, oh, great. And there are moments in it where like someone reacts poorly in her life because they're going through something. And he like approaches the person and he's like, hey, you can't react like that. Like your family member is like struggling here. So you need to just support them. And it like it's always coming from a very specific place of like being queer is not a problem. It is not bad. Sometimes you are put into situations where you cannot be fully open, but like that, you know, that's for reasons and you have to be able to like support those around you. And so it was really, really cute. I adored it. I thought it was so sweet and I just loved their love stories. I had the best time. So
That
those
actually
were
sounds like a really neat, like retelling, like a different retelling.
right. It was just like very unique and very different. And you know, it was good. It had a lot of representation. Art is biracial. And then the female knight, I believe, is oh, I cannot remember, but I believe she's Taiwanese. So it was like it had everything. It was really well done. And then the last thing I read, all audiobooks. I've been trying to get through this book on NetGalley that I'm enjoying, but it's just not hitting quite right. So I keep picking it up and being like, I don't really feel like reading, and I'll read 10 pages and then go to bed. So I will admit my actual physical reading is behind, but I had to listen to a book for book club, and I say had to listen to it because I did not like it one little bit, and it
Oh
sounded
no.
sort of interesting technically, but I hated it so much. It was called The Personality Brokers, The Strange History of Myers-Briggs and the Birth of Personality Testing by Merv Emra. No one in my book club liked this book.
Why did they pick it?
It was like on NPR's like greatest books, but like it's just a
Really?
list that they have, and if anyone gave a positive review, they just slap it on there, I guess. So someone at NPR liked
I
this
don't know
book.
why, but I feel like choosing a nonfiction book for book club is a interesting choice.
So we do 50-50. So every other month we do nonfiction. And you know, they're hit or miss. Like some of them super good. Sometimes you read a really stupid book about a woman in New York who is a food critic and you don't really care because it was the 90s.
I'm super picky about my nonfics too.
Yeah, I know. Well, in the last one I skipped, it was like a memoir, and I was like, oh, that one actually sounded good, but then I couldn't go to book club. So next nonfiction I'm excited about. It's about walkable cities. But This one was bad. I did not like it. The author seemed kind of like a mean girl. Like she just seemed to be a little like rude, but also she didn't have a main thesis. Like I think her thesis was the Myers-Briggs test is fallible, but she also like went into huge histories of the women who created it, which is also fine if you're writing like a biography of these two women. But she would like make really offhanded comments and also just it was just a weird book. And you find out about these women and like I think the problem is if she had been less mean, it's interesting to discuss because like these women grew up during or these women were like during the time of like Jung and Freud when like psychology was being developed in a very specific way. And
Okay.
they were women who had some education, but not a ton of education. So like they weren't psychologists, but they were also in a time where like being a psychologist was not the end all be all, you know? So like they studied, they did the things, and I'm like, oh, that could be interesting. These are two housewives who like were trying to develop this in a time where they were not totally accepted. But also they're like the mom in this book, and you're not supposed to diagnose people who you do not know. I will caveat it. But like a lot of warning signs in this book show that she had narcissistic tendencies.
Interesting.
Like she raised her daughter, because Myers-Briggs was a daughter, mo mother duo who developed this test. And the mom like raised the daughter to be like, wow, she's going to be so amazing. She raised her to be like a type A special child, you know? And so she like taught her how to speak different languages, forced her to do all these like great things. And she was like very much like, look at my child and how amazing I made her. And when I was listening to that part, I was like, this sounds kind of like a narcissist talking about how their child is an extension of themselves. And then as time went on, like their daughter goes to college. She like meets someone. The mom immediately hates him. And it's because he sticks up to her. And he like doesn't think she's the most amazing thing ever. And then there are points where like the daughter has a couple kids. She like decides she wants to become a mystery writer. And so she does it in like 5 weeks. Like I don't remember the time, but it's like a pretty quick turnaround and she wins this huge award. Her mother immediately starts mailing her letters about how much of a disappointment she is for doing
Oh
something
my gosh.
so trite as publishing a novel that is like for popular culture, and she was made for better things than that. And
I'm sorry,
like,
but that's so difficult.
I know. And then later on in life, the mom was like, well, I could have written a mystery novel. I bet I could have done that if I wanted to. And I was like, that's where I'm
No.
like, oh, narcissistic tendencies. You're like berating your daughter, but also think
No.
you're the most amazing person and could probably do it.
It's like when you watch the Olympics and you're like, I could easily do
Yeah, you're
gymnastics.
just like, what are you talking about?
Like,
Like,
no, Laura, you can't do gymnastics.
me when I'm like, I could run a beehive. I can get bees out of places.
I never think about that
I can
because I'm
scoop
afraid of
bees.
that.
I can scoop bees and throw them in a box.
No, not me.
But
I'm
like,
too
and
afraid.
this woman like met Young at one point because she's obsessed with him. She's obsessed with Young. And so she goes to like Baltimore to meet him or something. And he's like, yeah, I'll totally meet you in Baltimore. And then he like sends her a letter and he's like, hey, I can't meet you here. My schedule's really busy, but like, you want to come up to New York to meet me? And so then she
What?
like goes to New York to meet him and she makes her daughter go with her. And my favorite part of the novel, guys, I'm ruining all of this. Who's reading this book? It
No
was
one's
bad.
reading
Don't
this.
read
No
it.
one's reading it. Go ahead and ruin it.
But this narcissistic mom was like, you have to come meet Young with me. He is the second coming of Christ. And then the
Oh my
daughter
gosh.
later, one of her friends was like, so what was it like meeting Carl Jung? And the daughter goes, oh, I didn't pay attention.
Oh my gosh.
She was forced to go and she's like, I did not listen to that conversation. I no, thank you. I was
Oh
bored.
my
And I was like,
gosh.
that is amazing. A plus to that woman. But like, I think it could be interesting if you were dissecting, like, hey, personality tests were huge and they remained huge, like kind of until recently. Like, what was the hold of it? And like, what did capitalism do to ruin these types of tests? You know, that would have been interesting. Barely touch on that. The history of these two women, like identifying where they were in time and place, sort of did that, but also didn't identify much. It just didn't seem to have a
Sure.
running thesis, and it was wild. And this woman writes a lot of books that's kind of like the other books she's written. One is on the Elena Ferrante series,
Okay.
just like a deep dive into that. And one is like Paraliterary, The Making of Bad Readers in Post-War America. So this woman just kind of sounds like she thinks a lot of herself.
Yeah.
And like, fine, whatever, you get to think that, but like, it just
I
didn't.
feel like when you're choosing topics to kind of pick apart, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and the final section of the book was super weird, where she's like at this event where, because like the beginning of the book, she's like, I'm at this event where you can spend a ton of money to like have a weekend studying Myers-Briggs, and isn't that weird? And then the end of the book, she kind of just gives you a rundown of the weekend, but she like buys into it, but she also
Weird.
thinks she's above it. And she like keeps telling you every single person's thing. And again, I'm listening to this via audiobook, so it's like my
Incredibly dull.
MER and INFJ. And I was like, I don't need to hear these acronyms anymore.
Oh my
Can we move on?
gosh.
And so she like, it was just really weird. And at the end of the book, she does this thing where she's like, imagine you're a girl who's looking for this, and then you take the Myers-Briggs test, and you're like, what are you doing? What's going on? Why are we talking about this? And it was very strange. So
Yeah,
it
that
was just,
sounds like a strange book, honestly.
and she does talk about how like millennials are like, we now treat this as like a fun little BuzzFeed quiz that we do because like we're more into
Basically, yeah.
self-identification than years like people before us. And I'm like, oh yeah, that does make sense, you know. But it's just, I don't know. I was unimpressed with this. I gave it 2 stars because I was interested in the whole like, oh, psychological aspect, but I think I put that into it more than getting it out of the book. I think I was like, oh, isn't that fascinating to think
Right.
about? And then I would like zone out and think about that. And I thought I liked the book a lot more than I did because it
Right.
was not good. But yeah, so for watching, I watched while I was playing Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and I finished it, everyone. I won the game.
Congrats.
I played a lot and I did every side quest. Some of them were silly. My sister-in-law was like, not everyone plays all those side quests, Hannah. There's a lot of them. And I was like, yeah, I am playing one where you just have to stand on a pillar while it's hot outside. So
Seriously, that's all it was?
it was like a man who was challenging you, and he's like, I bet you can't stay out here while it's hot. And it's just like you had to make food that kept you cool for a certain amount of time. So I was
Okay.
literally like playing the game and just like doing my laundry. So I was
I
like,
was gonna
I'm
say that seems very hands off.
like, I'm not gonna sit here and watch this. Some of them were very difficult, but I played all the side quests. I do look for the side quests. I'm not like someone who like wanders around for 5 hours. I get bored. So I'll like look up like, which side quest is this? And then I'll go find it. But so I finished Tears of the Kingdom, but I was watching a ton of stuff. I started off yesterday watching House, which does not hold up in this day and age.
No,
It's not as
no,
fun to
no.
watch as it was when we were younger. Why did we
No.
love people who were terrible way back when?
You know what? We loved so many people who were awful.
I know. Like, I'm watching it, I'm just like, wow, House is not a good person, and he is
No.
addicted to drugs. Like,
Well, the thing
and
was, it was like, I feel like when I was watching it, I always kind of knew, like, House is a bad person, but we love that about him.
yes,
And
but he
it's like,
tells it
but
like it
why?
is, and he goes up against these bad people. And like, there's an episode I was watching where, like, remember when the big bad was like the billionaire who bought the hospital or whatever? And at one point, he's like, oh my gosh, he's gonna come in and he's gonna make us do all these pharmaceutical trials. And Cody is like, well, when you cut corners for one person, it's appropriate, but when he does it for many, it's inappropriate. I'm just like, no, this is just a good, like, that she made a good point. So
Right.
anyway, I watched some of it because it's easy, it's episodic, so you can just turn it on and just zone out. But then I
Honestly,
started.
the episodes of House that I like the best are when he's looking for new fellows. Like, those are my
Those are
favorite
good
ones.
ones.
Like, I think it's season four, and those are my favorite when he's like, he just assigns everyone a number and
Yeah,
he
13
filters through
keeps
all of
her
them.
number
Yeah, she just
for
keeps her number
far
because
too long. She's not
she's
like the other
Olivia
girls.
Wilde, and she's not
She's
like the
not
other
like the other
girls.
girls.
And you know what? We
She's
learn in real life
bisexual.
that she is not like the other girls. So, point proven, Olivia Wilde.
Wasn't she on like two shows where a huge major plot point was she was bisexual? What a
I
weird
think
time.
so. And
She was on the
also,
OC and House, and they were both like,
why is that so
what?
scandalous? But what?
Oh, because it was the
Whatever.
90s and the early 2000s, and people didn't know that bisexual people existed. And now we just don't know that bisexual men
Gotcha.
exist for some reason. We're like, oh, bisexual woman, totally. Bisexual men? Ew.
Yeah, it's super strange.
Super straight. People are just weird about sexuality. So
Yes.
anyway, I watched House. It does not hold up. It was so bad. And then I was like, I'm not feeling this anymore. So I started turning on movies that you can watch in the background. So I watched Which Brings Me to You, which is a Lucy Hale romantic
Oh
comedy. And we
no.
both
Oh no.
know that
Hannah.
the last time Hannah watched a Hulu Lucy
Hannah.
Hale romantic comedy, it was terrible.
Hannah,
This one,
why?
pretty fun. I actually
Oh, really?
recommend watching this movie. The end is stupid. The end is stupid. I was watching it and I was like, why are you talking about that, sir?
Is a great
Stop talking
movie.
about
The
this.
end is awful.
You could probably stop at 5 minutes and be like, you know what? They that was a good job. Good job, guys. We can head out from here. But honestly, it was very good. I liked it. It was like it's got like 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. So not
Yeah, that's pretty good,
great,
actually.
but it's Lucy Hale and Nat Wolff. They meet at this wedding and they have like a really weird initial encounter, but then they end up kind of hanging out and start sharing stories of like the great loves in their life. And it's
Oh.
really weird because they like tell them in flashback, but then like they're participating in the flashback. So like a lot of times
Oh.
they're commenting during it and like part of the scene. And it's just really interesting like ways to tell the story. And
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was an interesting thing. I thought sometimes like his love affairs, like his great loves, were not, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, hers are like emotionally very dark. His seem fine.
She's like, I've dated so many terrible people. And he's like, I dated
it's
this girl one time who worked at Starbucks.
yeah, like he'll be like, I had this great like time with this woman, and then I kind of left her and Irish goodbye'd her. And she's like, yes, I fell in love with this man who was an alcoholic and it ended in
Oh,
tragedy. And you're
gosh.
like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So, but I honestly really liked it. I thought it was really cute. And it was just, I really liked it. And there were some parts of it that I was like, really? Come on. Like, but it was good overall. It was a great time. I wouldn't say it's like the best rom-com you're ever going to watch, but it's a
Sure.
good time and it's a good way to like just turn it on and be like, that was cute. And it was so much better than a paint in the walls, the color of your
Oh.
eyes.
I think we should cover that for TV
I
Tuesday.
think we do need to cover the hating game. Oh my gosh. I painted the walls the
Oh.
color of your eyes. That will live in infamy of just me being like,
If
ew.
we can get through it, I don't know. I'm not for sure I could do it.
That's
I
like, do you remember? Did you ever watch Win a Date with Ted Hamilton?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember the speech of, you have five smiles? You only have five smiles? What are you talking about?
Feel like I remember that, but I would need to rewatch that because I'm only remembering like the lead actor, the guy that was married to Fergie, and
Oh yeah. Is it Josh Duhamel or is it his lookalike?
yes,
I can't
Josh
remember.
Duhamel.
Okay, Josh Duhamel. It's Josh Duhamel with Topher Grace or
Yes.
Topher, yes, and Kate Bosworth.
Yes.
And Topher Grace tells Josh Duhamel, she has five smiles, and one when she thinks something's funny, one when she thinks something's silly. And it's just like the most
Yeah.
basic, like,
It's
and then
like,
it,
oh, you just Google searched that. Okay, cool.
yeah. And then it ends with her going to Topher Grace, you have four smiles. You have a smile when you think something's funny, you have something when you think it's stupid. And one when you're looking at me. And there's also a weird plot point where I remember this movie so vividly. Kate Bosworth goes to talk to, oh, what's the woman's name? She's always like the ugly person in a movie when you're like, she's not ugly.
That's not an ugly person.
It's not an ugly person. And like, they're like, oh, she's so tragic because she's in love with Topher Grace and
Good
she's not
Lord.
even that pretty. And it's like, oh, it's Katherine Hahn. And you're sitting there looking
Oh,
at Katherine
what?
Hahn and you're like, how dare you? How dare you put disrespect on
Yeah,
Katherine
I
Hahn's
don't
face?
think
But remember,
so,
she was the
but
ugly fat friend in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
that's
This
true.
is
Yeah,
why we're
she was
broken.
the one that had to like put on the fake glasses and pretend to be a therapist or something.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Those
this
were
is a
like early
weird
aughts. They were
world.
like, you know who's ugly? Katherine Hahn. Excuse
Nice
yourself.
try.
But like, there's a moment where Katherine Hahn is talking to Kate Bosworth in a stormy apartment because Topher Grace has run away because she was going to LA with Ted Hamilton. And she goes, he's leaving. And you should catch up with him because with a man like that, the second he gets to his destination, he's closed the door on your guys' chances. And I'm like, if that's what it takes,
You know what? Close it.
maybe you should let it close.
I was gonna say, close
Maybe
it. It seems like the bar is too low.
if a 2-hour car ride has him say, I think I'm done, I think you should be done too.
Right.
It's okay. You can let that die. It's fine.
Oh, what
Weird plot point. Why would you do that?
were movies and television like during that time period? Like, and also books, because
Oh
this
my
book,
gosh. Yeah, that's fair enough. Wow, we've
Stormfront,
really come full circle, huh?
has and complete.
Also, random thing. I did also watch Damsel, the new Netflix movie with what's
Oh,
her face
yeah,
from
with
Stranger Things.
yeah, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah. It was a hashtag white girl feminism, in my opinion,
No.
but it was
Okay.
fine.
Okay. Well,
Yeah, what if,
I guess I don't need to be on a rush to watch that then.
wouldn't be in a re I just think it's weird that like nowadays we're like, you know what? Feminism means a white woman is supported by her black stepmother and
Oh,
she defeats
gosh.
everything. And you want to know who's evil? Another white woman. And that is feminism. And it's
No.
just like, oh, okay, I guess.
No.
And yeah,
Okay.
it's
Well, that's a choice.
I did like the voice of the dragon though, so
Oh, okay.
but
Good
everything
acting on the
else,
dragon's part.
good acting on the dragon. That was interesting, but very, very silly, and it was only okay.
Well,
I
that
just, I don't
is
know.
unfortunate.
I'm probably being too harsh, but like, there's just certain movies where I'm like, that's just like hashtag white woman and
I mean,
feminism.
you're allowed to let
I
something rub you the wrong
know.
way.
That's true. It just rubbed me the wrong way. And I wasn't paying that much of attention, so it could have been
Yeah.
that.
You missed all the deeper themes. That's fine.
And I mean, you know, is it actually feminism when your stepmother is Angela Bassett? I don't know. Maybe because it is Angela Bassett and she did do the thing. So
That's, yeah, she did.
she did do the thing. So at least Angela Bassett got paid.
Do you ever think about that performance? Like
Angela Bassett did the thing.
sometimes I just think about that performance and how she was like berated so much for that that she kind of went off the grid for a
I
little
know.
while. And I'm like, was it that bad that we needed to be like, why? Why would you do this? And she felt like she couldn't be online anymore because people kept bringing it up.
I do feel like that's bad. I will say that you know the guy who never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down. That guy, when
Yeah.
people were getting Rickrolled, he said like a part of him felt very hurt by it.
Oh.
And his daughter was much younger, and she was like, "Hey, Dad, you have to realize that like sometimes the internet gloms onto something that has nothing to do with you, and this is
Yeah.
one of those things." But I do think that that was what was going on a little bit. Like some people were berating her, but I think a lot of
Yeah.
people were just like obsessed with it. But it can feel hurtful because it feels mocking when really you're just like, "I really love this thing," you know.
Yeah.
I do think of that performance all the time because I listen to a podcast called Good Christian Fun. And
Okay.
they have random sound clips in their opening, and they always, and sometimes they'll have the thing. They also have the sound clip from Vanessa Hudgens during COVID at the early days when she
Oh
goes, "Yeah,
no.
people aren't gonna die." And
Oh.
so, yeah, what a time. I've
That makes
also
me groan, but the Ariana DeBose doesn't make me groan too much
no.
because
That one does make you
I did
groan.
not think that was as bad as people were like making it
No.
out to be. They made it seem like it was the cringiest thing ever, and I'm like there have not been cringier things to occur at some of these awards shows. Come on.
Know what? They just people stop forgetting. People forget that like so many people are wasted off of their butts at those things.
Yeah.
Like people are toasted. And so they're, and a lot of them nowadays are also high. So
Yeah.
just understand that and
It's like
let it
Love's
wash
Blind
over.
out there.
They're just
The
handing
Love's
you
Blind
white
producers,
cloth
and they are just
in
on the
golden
side.
goblets so you
Yeah,
can't
they're
see
just
how
on the
full
side with
it
all those golden goblets ready to just pass them in.
is. So yeah, I mean, I will say that you know what? I've also come around on Damsel. I forgot that it was Angela Bassett and she did do the thing. So it's a great movie. You should watch
Okay, I'm moving it up on my list now.
Glad we could make that agreement. So that was the other movie I watched yesterday on my just like hanging out. And then I started watching Why Women Kill, which I can talk about next time. But
Okay.
should we talk about why women be dying in Harry Dresden or why women be trying to have sex with him at every turn?
Here's the thing. Is there somewhat of like a Ted Bundy effect with Harry Dresden, where he is so attractive that people are letting him get away with things?
Well, people are definitely letting him get
Not
away with things.
right mur not like murder like Ted Bundy, but close. I mean, they're like some of the things he does are so annoying to me, and the things that he says, and then people just like excuse it or they don't bring it up, and I'm like, but if he was ugly, would this be different?
Here's a question. Is he hot or is he just tall?
Well, he mentions that he's very tall and
He's
in good
very
shape and has
tall.
long arms. He
Exactly.
mentions
So
that a couple times,
maybe he's not
and
even
he's
hot. Maybe he's
also
just tall.
accidentally naked a couple times,
Oh my
which
God.
I'm like, how are you accidentally naked?
I did genuinely laugh when he was wearing the t-shirt that says Easter has been canceled. They found the body. I thought that was
Okay.
delightful.
Harry.
He got me there. Okay, I would have laughed if he showed up to a crime scene with
I suppose.
but that's it.
I
That's
also
it.
don't know if I understand the world completely because I guess I was under the assumption that this was like our world, like modern world, but there's
But
also these
magic.
fantastical creatures and magic that exist that humans don't necessarily know about. Like it's two separate worlds. But then he mentions like his dating often. He's like, I don't get many chances to date human women. To which I'm questioning, does he look different than humans
No,
that they don't date, or how do they associate with each other? I'm confused by this.
so I think it's more we're supposed to believe that he's like a 24-year-old guy,
The
who
hottest
also is,
24-year-old
but he
with a
has said that
50-year-old
like
man's voice.
you literally can't look into his eyes without feeling like the
Without your
world
whole
is.
soul being revealed.
So I think that that's probably going to be a little bit of a mood killer.
Or if like you mentioned to him at any point on one of your dates, like, yeah, I'd like to have kids someday, and he makes a terrible joke about, yeah, kids taste delicious. Like,
Yes,
what? Like,
he
that's
does say
definitely a
he's
mood breaker.
bad with women, and also like he does live in an apartment with a basement laboratory. I do
Yeah,
also think that
creepy.
that's a red flag. So I think
That's
technically he's
very
supposed to
much
be
like,
hot, but then he invites
yeah,
women
I'm making a
back.
lot of like serial killer connections here because, like, the creepy lab basement and like some of the things he says and does. And I'm getting a lot of like, it puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose vibes. Like,
Right.
come on.
And also, like, this man is a terrible date. We will get into it, but, like, yeah, no wonder he doesn't get the opportunity to
Oh.
date. It's just, it, It's a very specific thing of like,
But the thing is,
did.
he'll completely admit it at one point, and then the next minute he's like, I don't understand why I don't get dates. And I'm like, but why
But you
don't
know.
you? Because
You
you
know.
just said.
Do you think Jim Butcher was watching Top Gun when he wrote the date scene? And he was like, it's
I think he was
totally
watching a lot of
normal
House. I
for
think
a
he was watching
man.
a lot of House.
It's totally normal for a man to go take a shower, apropos of nothing when a date is beginning. Instead of saying, hey, I was
What
beat
a
up the other
strange choice.
I was beat up the other day. Would you mind if we canceled?
Like,
It's
I
not that hard.
also
I'm
the way that he
ill.
continues to like objectify people in their most vulnerable moments, like say they're injured or dead, or like even with that vampire that like revealed her true form, he has to mention like there's nasty saggy breasts, and it's like,
Ugh.
really? You had to mention the vampire's nasty saggy breasts? Like, come on, like stop objectifying this vampire.
Okay. We have to get into it because now we're just talking about him as a character. So we left
I
off
have so many
with
issues with him.
Harry talking about vampire sexy breasts. And we
Yes.
come in to Harry being a detective again. He has to call Linda Randall, who was one of the sex workers who had like moved
Linda
away from
Randall.
that. Linda Randall. These
Why the
names are
slut act?
so freaking beige. I cannot handle it. Like, I was like, at one point, I was like, well, Karen walked in. And I was like, nope, it was Susan.
It's like
Why?
Karen, Kathy, Linda, like all the people who like work at a
Work
bank,
in
probably.
HR.
Yes, Linda from HR, just like
Linda
a
from HR.
horrible Kimmy Schmidt.
Exactly.
Yes.
I was just thinking about that with the basement where the quote, it is, it amazes me what women will do to not be rude.
Yeah.
Terrible person who said it, but great line. So yeah, Harry calls the woman who's doing the slut act.
Oh my gosh. The way that he is so into this, though, and then he says, I couldn't even stop myself and I just let it slip out. And then I was like,
Even
whoops, shouldn't
before
have said
that,
that.
he's sitting there saying that to her, but like right before that, so he calls her. He says, may I ask you a few questions? She says, no. He says, it won't take that much of your time. And she says, I will not be answering your questions. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, he like
And
badgers her too.
and he overhears that she's at the O'Hare Airport. And he goes, well, she's
Well,
waiting
he's
on
like
her.
that. He hears like on their phone call. He's like, that sounds like she's at the airport. I better just go there, hunt her down
Yeah,
creepily.
so he stalks her after she said, I do not want to speak to you. And also, as someone who used to live in Chicago, weird poll to be like, you know what? I am in Chicago area. And you know where I can go really quickly? The O'Hare Airport. I can totally grab her before she picks up her clients. What are you
It's hard
talking
to
about?
say what's more fantastical about Harry Dresden, whether it's, like people accepting his personality or the way that he dresses in Chicago or the way that he gets around Chicago, because
Just like
it's
in the blink of an
unreal.
eye, because all this, he'll one moment he'll be like, "Hey, I'm in downtown Chicago getting beat up with a not tire iron," and the next, I'm in the southeastern suburbs, and I'm like, "What are you t or southwestern suburbs?" That would have been
Yeah.
even more fantastical because you would have been in Lake Michigan. But it's just
Yeah.
like, how are you running around in one evening, Harry? This is unreal. So he gets out
Yeah,
to
because we don't know
O'Hare.
the magic systems that well.
He gets out to O'Hare in like 10 seconds flat before she can pick up her clients, which I mean, I'm not going to comment, but like early 2000s, O'Hare was not an easy place to just park. You have to like pay to park or like
Right.
park in an off ramp. It's very bizarre.
I would say
So
it's still not that easy to park there, but whatever.
he shows up. Yeah, no, definitely not. But I'm saying like maybe back in the 90s, maybe, but
I
I doubt it.
doubt it.
So he comes up to her and he's like, hey, I stalked you here. And she's like, well, of course you did. I bet you liked it. And so he
Because
asks
she
her,
has that sultry voice that she talks to him with.
and she talks about how she spoke to Jen on Wednesday before she died that evening. She asked if Linda wanted to participate in a little reunion with her and Tommy Tom. And she kind of she it's a weird moment where like she is talking about her dead friend and she's like reminiscing and she's just like, well, she was so nice. You could tell people liked her, you could tell she opened up to people. And Harry has this moment where he's like, I looked in her eyes and I saw her self-loathing. And I'm like, everything about Linda tells me that she was pretty happy as a sex worker,
I
actually.
was gonna say, I never, from the way that she's written, I never got the vibes that he got. Like, for whatever he reads on people's souls, he's very bad at it.
I
Like,
know, because
I
I'm
think
like,
he's got
Linda.
some wires crossed and he was like reading the person behind her or something.
Well, and like even in the prior section, Bianca is like, Linda was like really into this work. She really
Right.
liked her job. Like she decided to get out of it, but I'm a little weirded out that she decided to get out of it because she liked this so much. And so I'm like, well, she sounds like a pretty happy sex worker. It's just very anti like sex work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's the belief that people in those professions don't want to be in them and
It's a
obviously hate themselves.
desperation. Yeah.
And so that's it's just very not accurate to what we're reading on the page about Linda. But anyway, two people come out. Like Harry also immediately is like, well, Linda's obviously fucking Mr. Beckett, and his wife is dead behind the eyes, so that's gotta be cruel. And it's just like, Harry, what is going on
Harry.
with you?
I want to punch you.
What's with the slut act, Harry?
Is. Oh,
But he
okay.
does give her a card if she needs to call him. He then leaves. The way Harry bounces back and forth, and he does so many things right in a row where I'm like, take a bathroom break, Harry. So he leaves and he's
Wizards
like,
must not have to go to the bathroom as often.
he leaves and he's like, I'm gonna go look into the pizza places near Monica Sell's missing husband's house. And there he like calls and immediately gets a kid because there's only like one pizza place in the area. Not that hard of a detective work, Harry.
This is funny, though.
He like is like, hey, I need to talk to the guy who delivered a pizza out by this house. And the kid is like, I promise I didn't see anything, sir. I told you I didn't see anything. Whatever you and your friends were doing, that's your business. And
Like,
he's
if you're
like,
having an orgy out there, it's fine. I
that's
did
fine. I
not
don't
see
care.
it.
I was just asked to deliver a pizza, sir, and I delivered a pizza. But he talks about how he saw a man in black with a camera there, and he's like, I had nothing to do with him. I do not know who that is. That is none of my business. And so Harry's like, this is getting spicier and spicier. And he's headed back to his apartment, and he is beat up by a man who tells him to stick his nose in not this place.
He's like, you got a big nose. Quit sticking it around, Dresden.
So he stays up late after being like really beaten badly. And he
Yeah.
realizes he thinks he knows what type of magic did Tommy Tom and Jennifer in. He goes to tell Murphy, and on his way in there, this drug-induced person comes like running by and he helps stop them. And he finds out that they're using this drug called 3-Eye, which is a new drug of choice that has some
But
magical
the way that
elements
he
to it.
belittles this so much, this 3-Eye is baffling to me when it's like, obviously this is something that's affecting people, and the way that you're
Well,
just like,
he's
oh,
very
whatever,
like
because they just want to use it to do their hippie stuff. Like, okay.
Harry Dresden, oldest 24-year-old in the world.
He kind of is, where it's like,
He's just like, oh, how dare they want to do recreational drugs that use magic? Only I'm supposed to use magic.
only I get to break the rules.
I think I will slowly just turn him into Jimmy Stewart.
Let's
Only I get to use magic.
not be that nice to him.
So he like he is really belittling of this, but then he's like,
Yeah.
maybe I should take it more seriously. And it's like, maybe you should, Harry. Maybe you should. He goes to talk to Karen Murphy and tells her about the different types of magic. Like some magics can be done in the room with you. But this is probably thaumaturgic magic. I do not know how to say that word, and I cannot tell you how to say it, but it's like transferring power from one thing to another, kind of like voodoo
Right.
dolls. And he doesn't know how, he's like, it uses a lot of power. I don't know how they would do it. It's crazy. But he does admit to going to see Bianca, and she's like, damn it, Harry, you're
She's
a
like,
son of a gun.
Dresden, I told you not to go over there, but you did it anyway, and that's okay because we love you here. And
I love you.
it's like, why are there no repercussions for him being awful?
And she kind of like hints at the fact that this is probably about Marconi, but he's not pu because he's not pushing 3-Eye, but someone else is, and they were probably trying to get on him in on his territory. And now they're trying to like wipe him out. And so the Tommy Tom was probably part of it, or he had double crossed them and it was Marcone who did it. So it's all a big mystery. And then we have one of the weirdest sections of this book ever called Harry Has a Concussion and It Makes Him Do Weird Things for about 4 hours and then he's fine.
Was this even necessary though? Like I don't know that.
No, it makes zero sense in the context of anything. Like all of a sudden he passes out in Murphy's office. He comes to. She's like, "You're a mess, Harry, and I gotta get you home." And she like lifts him up and he's like, "I'm fine, I'm fine." And then she
And he
takes
like
him to
tries to put the moves on her too.
I blacked that part out.
Because obviously he would do that.
So like Murphy gets him home, but his phone rings. He is concussed, like falling out of her arms, trying to hit on her. And he decides to answer his phone. What are you doing? And so he answers it, and it's Linda. And she asks if she can come over. He tells her to meet him at the 7-Eleven down the street from his house. And she says, I'll be.
What a creepy thing.
Well, and then she's like, well, I'll be there. And later he assumes she's coming to his house. And I'm like, but you told her to meet you at
You
the
told her
7-Eleven.
to meet you at a creepy gas station.
Sir, I don't understand. I was so baffled. I went back twice to read it to see if I missed something. I didn't.
No,
He
you're
just.
right. I remember him saying that.
Yeah. And there was never like, she was like, I'll be there and in your arms. And I'm like, but she said there. She didn't. The implication isn't apartment. The
Right.
implication is place you told me to be.
Right.
Why did he forget that? I'm baffled. But he like she's like and he's like come over tonight on Saturday to the 7-Eleven I told you to meet me at. I think I might have had something going on, but I cannot remember because I am concussed. So
Oh,
sounds good.
gosh.
He does have something going on. And then he hangs up the phone and immediately calls Monica Sells. And again, I'm like, sir, you are concussed and falling on the floor. You could have this conversation tomorrow at any point. Why did you have to have it right now when you're like
Right.
falling over? You appear to be drunk in like certain ways because you're concussed. Like, don't call your
I
clients.
mean, to give him some slight credit, he's not in the right headspace to be making decisions. So it
But
makes
like
sense
Murphy
that
is
he's not
trying to
making good
put him
ones.
to bed.
Yeah.
It was
Oh, no.
baffling why it was in this line of events where I'm like,
Right.
this could have
Exactly.
easily happened any other time.
It
And it's
doesn't make
happening
sense.
during this. And so he like Murphy puts him to bed. She like folds all of his clothes. Okay. And then he wakes up during a storm and he realizes that it was storming on Wednesday night. And that's probably whatever the magical person used to tap into the storm to kill the two people.
And there's
So
all that background noise too that.
he gets up and he immediately like it's like Mister, you and I should get a nice steak dinner. I've decided that Mister is the only redeemable man so far in this series.
I mean, how many men are there? Because, but the
There's
other thing is too, you
Bob.
have to consider that we're getting Harry Dresden's viewpoint all the time, which means that no other men will compare.
That's true. But
They
Mister
all pale
does.
in comparison to Harry
Well,
Copperfield,
and so
Blackth,
there's a knock at the
whatever.
door, and he's like, well, it's definitely Linda. But Linda was headed to the 7-Eleven, Harry. You're wrong. But
Linda's waiting
it's.
at a convenience store for you.
She's getting a slushie, Harry. But it's Susan for their date. And he is like, oh my gosh. If Susan's here and Linda comes here, they're immediately going to get into a cat fight. What?
He's such an idiot where he thinks that all women love him so much, and even women that he's known less than an hour are
What
going
if he said,
to.
what's with the slut act? And he's like, well, she's gonna fight for me. What?
She adores me. That's the problem. I called her a slut, and now she's in love, and I don't know what to do here.
So he's like, also, I'm disgusting because I was concussed and like sleeping it off in my bed, which also not the smartest thing to do when you're concussed.
Right,
But
you're not supposed to go to sleep, are you?
he immediately is like, hey, I'm gonna go take a shower. Cancel the date, Harry. It's not that hard to
No.
say, I was beaten up recently. Can we please reschedule? I can't do this. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Like, it's not that hard.
It
So
is
anyway.
hard if you have to see all women because he gets to a point where he stops thinking with his brain and starts thinking with his hormones. He
And
says that.
so he rushes to get in the shower, and then all of a sudden he sees like someone coming towards his door, and he has to get out immediately because and so he can't even wash the shampoo out of his hair, and he starts running
That's
down
true.
the
I
hall.
forgot that he still had suds in his hair.
And he starts running down the hallway to stop two women from maybe passing the Bechdel test, I can only
Oh.
assume. And instead, he runs into a demon at the door. And so a fight ensues. At first, the
He's
demon.
stopping women from passing the Bechdel test. Suck,
I
don't congregate.
wrote that down, Laura. I said from maybe passing the Bechdel, because in Harry's mind, they still did it. They just
Don't
immediately
share any
started fighting about
ideas.
him. But
Step away from that woman.
step away, you cannot do this.
But
And
make sure
so
your cleavage is still visible.
and the backless dress stays on,
And
okay?
give
Because
me a good look of your back.
I like your gams in that dress. Ew.
Oh.
And so a fight ensues. At first, the demon can't get in because there's like energy around doors and everything. But then it's able to because it only protects them so far. Susan runs down to his creepy murder basement. And he's like, drink the potion
Well, she
that'll.
first she's like, "What is that?" And he's like, "A bad guy." Like, obviously, like
And
that's the explanation is a bad guy, and she's just like, "Okay."
she's just running around Kermit the Frog style, being like, ah!
Kind of. And
Yeah.
then he's like, "You know what? Drink that potion that I made down there. It'll get you
And I
out of here."
immediately started rolling my eyes, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. We're not doing this
Okay,
right
here's the
now.
thing. When the love potion was brewed, if anyone had any doubts that this was going
Oh.
to end up in some woman, some unsuspecting woman who Harry finds hot but did not quite yet reveal his intentions to, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, this is going to be misused.
But he runs to the basement. He puts a protection circle around them that's like 3 feet wide. And Ruh-roh, she just took the love potion. And so she's
She
like,
took the love potion and she's like,
Harry.
"Harry,
Oh,
why
also.
don't we have sex while before we die?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I am
I
considering
am
it."
a man, so I can't control my body. Also, he's naked.
Yes.
I will say it has to be
Yeah.
uncomfortable for a woman to be coming onto you while you are naked and you are a man and your body cannot stop certain urges. But also, why did he run out of the shower with shampoo in his
But
hair and
also,
he only had
why
a
did
towel
he
on?
not put a robe or any
He
clothes on?
literally 7 chapters ago went into a deep dive on how important robes are. For wizards, he owns them. He just didn't put one on in this specific scenario.
Yeah, I
So
have a hard time
anyway,
feeling bad for him.
then we have like pages of him being like, I have to stay away from the demon, but I have to not have sex in this 3 foot circle. What am I
His
to do?
hormones took over, Hannah.
It's so many pages, and I'm just like, just get out of there. So anyway, he makes a deal
We
with.
don't know what it's like to deal with hormones.
He makes a deal with Bob, because of course he does.
Well,
We're
Bob's like, "Let me out of this school.
we
I'd like
find
to have
out
a go at your lady. She's pretty." And it's like,
that
ew.
Bob is like pretty much locked in the school and he can
Yeah,
get
he's like a spirit
permission
that's
to
locked in the
leave,
skull.
but he has to get permission from Harry and he runs amok. He runs amok, amok, amok. And so Harry's like, I'll give you 5 minutes. And he's like, nope, 24 hours or nothing. And so he gives him the 24 hours. And all Bob does is give him the spell that they brewed earlier
Yeah.
today and leaves. He just hightails it out of there. He says, thank you, my 24 hours is ticking. And so they both drink half of the potion, even though she's not thirsty. One of her lines.
She's only thirsty for Harry.
I'm not thirsty, Harry. And so they go outside. It doesn't take them too far because they both split the potion. And it
Great.
immediately turns off the sex potion, which thank God for that.
I know. Oh,
And she
free
immediately
that woman.
starts hurling. He can't run away to like, we find out he was trying to get over to like the running water in the streets of Chicago that are being flooded in the early 2000s, I
There's
guess.
weird, like, side mentions of things like that that I'm like, oh, okay.
Sure. So he's like, if we could only get past to the running water, and then immediately it does not matter because he cannot
No.
move.
It's
And
like, why
so,
even mention this?
I don't know. And then he sees like a shadow of a person who like obviously called the demon. He
Yeah.
talks to the person, can't identify if they are a
Well,
man
it's
or
like
a
a
woman.
hologram type
Yeah.
thing.
And they say that they're there to watch Harry die. Harry is like, I want to get a better look at you, and like sends some power towards it and shocks like the person who's casting it. And they're like, how did you know how to do that? And Harry's like, I've actually done my homework. And it's like,
I'm
okay,
actually a
Harry,
genius, and that's
I'm
how
the
I knew.
smartest person in the world. And so Harry calls down magic from the storm because he's like, wait a second, I just learned about this neat little trick.
But also, he's an idiot because if he's trying to frame someone, I
Yeah.
mean, if he's thinking he's going to be framed, why would he do the same exact thing as the person who is guilty?
Because he had to save the puking woman whose name I
Here's
can't
the thing,
remember. It's Susan.
him being quote unquote a savior, and or just trying to prove a point that he can also use that magic
But don't you
is an
remember,
idiot move.
he asked the shadow man, hey, could you leave Susan alone? And the shadow man said, no, she's seen too much. She saw a demon. No, she didn't. She didn't see too much.
She saw a bad guy.
No
She saw a
one
bad
knows
guy.
what's
She has
going
no
on.
clue.
That's why Harry had to bring down the storm for him, because Susan had seen too much. She saw too much.
And the thing is, he's just so chivalrous that he will do that to save all the women. He's just
Just
here
the
to
best.
protect all of us.
No
I shouldn't say all of us.
wands,
I mean,
quick like Dresden.
the
No.
women.
And each morning he eats 4 dozen eggs.
No, he probably
So
doesn't because he's like, eggs are too high in cholesterol.
he's almost the size of a barge. So Morgan immediately shows up, the evil or the wizard who's his probation officer
Yeah.
after Harry kills the demon.
He's like, you totally did this.
The logical leaps this man jumps through in order to murder Harry. I'm immediately like, I think you have to be around for multiple books because you're such a pain, but also you're the perfect bad guy for this book. So I have no idea which way
I
you're
mean, I
gonna
don't even
go.
see him as a bad guy. I would be super annoyed with him too. I want to be Harry's probation officer and try to get him.
Laura wants to rewrite these as Morgan the
Yes, I
hero.
think Morgan is the hero.
I
He's
don't know.
trying to save us all from Harry Dresden.
He is trying to save himself from Harry's Dresden, but he is trying to plant evidence as well.
I mean,
Because
whatever it takes. Harry's done some
Harry,
sketchy things as well. Harry stalked someone earlier.
all the
Harry
way to
is,
O'Hare, 5 minutes
I
away from his apartment.
know, he's running around naked. So I don't know.
He,
Morgan might have some points.
well, Morgan, but he's like, Morgan, I was obviously protecting myself. It was self-defense. And he goes, I think you created that demon to murder me. And it got out of hand and then you had to kill it. So
I
that's what
find it
happened.
interesting though that you're thinking that he's like jumping through hoops. I think he's purposely trying to create like a story that he can feed to other people. You know what I mean? That's why he's saying that, you
Oh,
know?
but that's why I'm saying he's jumping through hoops, though.
Oh,
That's what
okay.
I mean. It's like he doesn't actually.
I thought you
I
meant
don't
like
think
the
he
stuff he's
actually.
saying was like so ridiculous that he believed it. I'm like, I don't think he actually believes that. I
Oh,
think he
no, I
just.
don't think he believes it either. But, like, that's
Okay.
what he's just jumping through so many hoops to, like, get him. And so he. Harry's like, I don't think about you that much.
Which is an ultimate slap.
I know, like, I'm not thinking about you. He says he's calling the White Council to push through their judgment on Harry. And Harry is like, that is not great because I am already on thin ice. And then the police arrive and he's like, Susan, I am so sorry this all happened to you. And of course, Susan in her backless dress, being slipped some love potions,
Yeah.
is like, I'm just glad this will be a great story. What? This woman has been traumatized. What are you
Yeah,
talking about?
here's the thing. Like, a lot of what's happening to her is controversial to me, honestly, because she can't consent to all of her love for Dresden. Like, she is drugged, and
She's drugged
I.
and vomiting, and she's still
Yeah.
supposed to be the skeezy news report. What are you talking
Yeah.
about?
Like, she's just
No.
trying to. Harry says something like, she's still trying to get a good story. And I'm like, no.
You slipped
She's
her
still
a
doing her
freaking
reporting.
love
And I'm like,
potion.
no, you drugged her. I feel uncomfortable that
And
you're
if she
like,
was able to
it's
bounce back,
fine.
if she was able to bounce that back that fast, good for her. That's her job. Man, who cares?
I don't
All
think she
right.
did bounce back that fast, but.
I know. So we find out that the cops were actually there to go get Dresden because someone killed Linda from
Yeah, because they, and
HR.
then they found his business card there, and they're like,
Yeah.
huh. Go ahead.
Well, but that's the thing. So he goes there and he tells her about the storms. Like he's like, hey, people use the storms to call down this energy. And she's like, why hadn't you told me that before? And he was like, I didn't think about it. And I was like, why didn't you think about that before, Harry? It seems like pretty common knowledge to you now and
Right.
logical, actually.
A lot of people are mentioning it, so
I think he's a bad detective.
I think he's just negligent, honestly. He's spending a little too much time like thinking about
concocting
how
love
many women
potions.
want him and
God.
not enough time like doing his job.
Well, except when he's concussed, and then he can't look away from his job, Laura.
And then
He
he's
has to do
dedicated
the
to his
work.
work.
He's dedicated to the craft. So he tries to pretend to be psychic, and he's like, I sense this woman had this, 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 and this. And
Not
Karen is.
pretending to be psychic. She says, like, what did you see in her? And he just like makes up this BS
But he
thing
like
where.
it's like, oh, I see, I'm getting a psychic link to her.
Oh,
And then
I don't remember
no,
that. I thought it was just
she
like hit
specifically
she,
says that
because
because I remember rolling my eyes and being like, you've got to be kidding me,
I
Harry.
thought it was
Like,
just like she was like, we found your business card. Do you want to tell me what you
no,
know
because
here? And
she
he
calls him out on the carpet because of that. He like,
and
sorry.
he's like, if I told you that I had a feeling that she was this and this, and she's like, yeah, well, we got your business cards. How did you know each other? And
Yeah.
like,
See,
ugh.
that's what happened. He like pretends to have a psychic link,
Oh,
and
I
she was
didn't think
like,
it was a
well,
psychic reading. I thought he was just being a
oh.
D-bag
No,
and
he
just
was
like,
pretending to
if
have
I
a
told you that
psychic
I was
reading.
such a good detective that I could guess all these things.
He is the worst. And so he's just talking to her, and yeah, he goes, I sense, I paused thinking of my words. I wanted them to be very clear. I sense that this woman will have a police record, probably for possession of narcotics. And right before he goes, if I tell you that I was having a psychic premonition, would you
Well,
take
this
me
is worse than how I
seriously?
remembered it.
Yeah, no, he says,
This is worse
so
than my memory.
he's trying to be like, I have a psychic reading for you. And she lets him go because she is a cop doing her due diligence, being like, well, what would you read, Harry? And she lets him hoist himself by his own petard. And then she's like, yeah, Harry, we found your card. So we know you knew her. And now I suspect you because you haven't been straight with me and you saw the bike. And he's like, no, I just stalked her to O'Hare.
And he's like, here, hold on a second. Let me mansplain some stuff to you.
Look, here's what I was doing a thing called detective work, Lieutenant. You would have known about
I'm just
it
gonna
if you
tell
were a
you,
detective.
you don't know what it's like to be a detective because you're just working for the police. It's like, okay, what?
You believe in psychic links? Well, you didn't have one with her. I know, but do you believe in them? And so she is like, well, now I'd like you to come down to make a statement. And he's like, but you know me, you know I wouldn't do this. And she's like, I don't know anything. I am a detective. And if you're
And
using this
finally,
as a
somebody's
way to tie up
finally
loose
saying,
ends. Well, and here's the thing, Morgan, I hated Morgan. I was like, Morgan, don't play at evidence. Karen Murphy, I was kind of like, it sounds like you're just doing your job.
oh,
Like,
yeah,
you
she's
actually,
absolutely doing her job.
if we're looking at this as,
This is
not.
finally a point where they're not just letting Dresden bulldoze them and
Yeah.
just talk them into certain things and be like, oh, just don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing.
Laura wants this book rewritten as Morgan, the person who will take down Harry Dresden. I want Karen Murphy's story, the woman who was finally like, oh, maybe I shouldn't trust this man. And so he refuses to come down to take a statement, and he's just like, I've got bigger fish to fry. The White Council is coming. The amount of times he brings up the fact that the White Council is coming did make me laugh.
I
And
will say
so
I was very like not bothered by the White Council. I don't know why this didn't seem like a big threat. I don't know.
also unbothered by the White Council. I'm just like, sure, I don't know.
It
They
was
seem like a bunch of
mentioned
old
many
white men.
times. It was mentioned many times. I'm like, I just don't care about a bunch of Gandalfs coming and acting like they're gonna get you in trouble and then you're not gonna be in trouble because you're Harry Dresden and you don't get in trouble.
Especially when they have Morgan reporting to them. I don't think that helps their case. Like, I
Well, and that's
can't
the
take them
thing too.
seriously
You
when you have
absolutely
Morgan.
know that they don't take Morgan seriously.
Right. So I'm like, I
That's
just
how
don't
his
care
character
about
is set
them.
up. Nobody's going to care about Morgan. They kind of just set Morgan out for Dresden because they're just like, you know what? He'll just follow him around and at least we'll be able to keep tabs on him because Morgan is going to be incessantly annoying about this.
Well, so Harry leaves, like, and he's just like, well, I'm almost at my low point. But then he gets jumped again. And he realizes he recognizes the man's smell as one of the muscles for Marcone. They get into a scuffle where Marcone's man, who
It's Marconi,
Harry,
right?
oh, Marconi, I apologize, Marconi.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's either or, but you listen to the audiobook,
I
so I
think they
trust
say
you.
Johnny Marconi in the
Okay.
book.
So I will use Marconi. So I will say that Harry Dresden uses a very ableist term that I will not be using to describe this man. We do find out that later his name is Lawrence, so I will use that. But he and Lawrence get into the scuffle where Lawrence takes a piece of Harry's hair, and Harry
Yeah.
freaks out because that has a lot of power, especially with a thaumaturgical wizard running around. And so he like starts beating up on him, and he almost has the upper hand to get his hair back, but two good Samaritans see Harry beating up another man and intervene, and Lawrence gets away with Larry's hair. But then he's like, Larry, or Lawrence, sorry, Lawrence. He's like, Lawrence
Lawrence gets away with
must.
Harry's hair.
Thank you. That's what I meant to say. And so, but then he realizes that he can smell Lawrence because Lawrence smells so bad. And he tracks him to the suburbs to an all-night club in the suburbs.
This makes me laugh so much. Like sometimes
Could you
fantasy books
imagine just.
mention smells like this, and it's just like, what is this weird thing with smelling? I don't get it.
You know what made me laugh harder? Thinking about an all-night club in Naperville, Illinois.
Like residential.
He's like, well, we gotta go out to the suburbs. And I'm like,
After
which
people finish up
ones?
their book club, then they head over.
All night
Reference, for people
party.
who do not know about Naperville, it's like I think recently it was rated like one of the safest suburbs in Illinois. Like it's a super safe community.
It's incredibly expensive to live there. Like the taxes there are astronomical, but
Yeah,
like
it's really nice, and
it's
it's
where a
just
lot
like,
of rich, wealthy people live. So I'm just imagining
yeah,
like
families, elderly people,
and
like,
that's obviously not what he meant. He's in the southwestern suburbs, but I just laughed when I was like, what, Naperville? Like
yeah.
this all-night club. So that is what I was picturing the entire time, and it made me giggle the entire time. So he goes to Naperville and he enters Marconi's club with a flourish by like blasting out the windows and doors.
Gotta make an entrance. He's Harry Dresden.
He tells everyone to leave and everyone leaves. And like, this is also where my mind was, where I'm like, this is an all-night club. Do you think people were like running to the coat check to get all their things? Like, do you think there was some drunk girl being like, Sarah, we're supposed to walk home together. You're not supposed to leave a drunk girl behind. Hashtag living.
Oh.
Anyway, so the drunk girls leave, and he tells Marconi that Lawrence double-crossed him since Marconi seems very confused about Harry being beaten up. So he's like, Lawrence is double crossing you. He's definitely getting paid from the other side. He gave them my hair. And Marconi's like, how are you going to prove that? And he's like, well, lift his wrist. And I love this. And Lawrence is like, you can get your wrist scratched up many ways, boss.
Which, fair enough.
I mean, he's not wrong. But he does have his wrist scratched up from where
Yeah.
he got to the scuffle with Harry. And then he just shoots up the place. But Harry did stop at his apartment. So he has these ancient bracelets because we love a man who accessorizes and they protect him. But the men kill Lawrence. And Marconi is like, why did you kill him? We need more information.
Right.
We.
He was our info, but thanks anyways.
Thanks, anyways, guys, I guess. And so he's kind of like, what the heck? I cannot seem to find who's doing all this stuff. I cannot seem to find where these people are coming from. And Harry's like, well, why don't you help me get rid of all this stuff? I don't know why
Let's work together.
I think we're just making him Batman slowly.
I mean, it's hard to do the voice that what's his name does,
That's fair. I
James
haven't heard it,
Marsden.
so
Like his voice is very deep and kind of like
okay.
bored, so it's hard to replicate that.
And Marconi is like, I did not want to work with you. You just blasted out the doors of my bar. I was having a great time in Naperville and you ruined it, so I will not be helping you.
Which, you know what? Good choice because
Yeah.
he would be really annoying.
Well, and like Harry, you could have just walked in and told him this. You didn't
Right.
have to like make an entrance and ruin his facility. So he's like, you know what? Honestly, I'm someone where I could just keep my head out of it. And if the guy who's coming after you kills you, then fine, because I can take credit for it. And if you kill him, great, because then you get my problem taken away from me. And Harry's like, you know, him killing me won't fix your issues. And he's like, yeah, but you know, I'm not going to really help you with this, but I will tell you, I have no idea what's going on. I loved that energy of like, I'm not going to
I
help you,
know.
but I will tell you, I have no idea what's going on. So best of luck. Have fun. And so they do say that whoever's doing it is the person who's selling 3i, and too many people seem afraid of who's selling it. So there's just no information to go off of,
Yeah, it's just like a mysterious, like very powerful person.
which brings us to the low point of the novel, where Harry does the only thing a normal person can do. He goes and he lays down on the floor of a recently murdered woman's apartment and thinks about his backstory. What?
Is this the moment where he says, like she was still wet, her hair was still wet, she was gonna come over and see me, she was taking a bath so she could come over and
That
see me.
might have been when she was actually murdered. I cannot remember.
Okay,
This is the
that was
moment
like when
where
he
he
first
was
went to the
like,
scene. Okay.
the second moment is when he goes, you know, my father was a magician.
Oh, and I have a headache. The book is
Oh,
giving me a headache.
father was a magician. I just love that so much that he's sitting in this murdered
Oh.
woman's apartment thinking about the fact that his father was a magician. I'm
He
crying.
he's so self-absorbed. I can't get over it. Like he does not, even in her death, he cannot let her have a moment. He's in her apartment.
Her apartment. I think he actually takes a nap in there at one point.
And is this the point when he's like commenting on the state of her apartment and he's like, what a dump. You
I
can tell
think that
she
was
had
also
parties.
before,
Was
but
that before? Gosh, I'm getting
yeah.
these moments
No, it's okay
confused.
because why is he returning to the literal scene of the crime? There's no reason
Because he
to.
needs to, have some other things that make him like not the greatest person to be working with the police. He needs to cross some
He
other
needs to
lines.
just like rub some DNA in her carpet, get it in there real good.
Oh.
my father was a magician. It's like the gremlin speech. But we find out that he lost his mother very early on. He went on the road with
Yeah.
his dad, but before his dad could teach him his tricks, he died. And so Harry got tied up with a wizard who, when he was looking for a place, and that also ended in disaster. So we find out Harry's backstory in this murdered woman's
He's
apartment.
got a lot of bad male role models.
Oh, you know what? Small correction. He may not have broken into her apartment until after he thought about the fact that his father was a magician. So a little bit less funny, but still ridiculous.
But you
Like,
know he was still inappropriate while he was there.
yeah, you know, he was probably still lying on the floor thinking my
Oh,
father
yeah.
was a magician.
He's probably thinking about something inappropriate, like, man, this apartment is a mess, or
so yeah, he does. He
she was putting on a slut act, but
he was putting on a slut act, but
she
she
was a
was putting
great
on a
gal.
slut act for him, so it was
She
okay.
was an honorable person, if nothing else.
And so, like, the blood literally hasn't been cleaned up yet, and he's lying on the floor in her apartment by the bed sheet, like it's a mess.
Yeah.
So he takes a nap and then he is like, what am I gonna do? And then he sees a canister, a film canister. And if we remember to earlier chapters we just discussed, the pizza man said that there was a photographer out by Monica
Yes.
Sells' husband's house. So he pulls out the film that he found at the Sells' house, and he finds out that they are a match. I don't know how films match. That confused
I'm
me.
not for
Maybe
sure on
it's
this
just
either, but
2024.
I don't know that much about
I
photography.
forget what film was like way back when. So, listeners, send off in the comments and tell us if film matched in
Unless it was like
2005.
a specific to that type of camera
Maybe.
thing,
And
you
then
know, like it could only fit in specific cameras.
he realizes that there's a plot witch going on because both things he's working on are connected.
Of course they are.
But before we get away from this moving up from the low point, someone is opening the door and swinging it open. And thus brings us to chapter 19, which is where we're ending for the day.
Okay.
Gosh, Harry, what's with the
Hannah,
slut
why the slut act?
Because my father was a magician.
Oh, he is something.
Oh, God. I must have fallen asleep. You are on a dead woman's carpet. What are you doing, sir? Go home. How is it like still the same day? It's so many hours have passed.
Time doesn't go anywhere.
He went all the way to O'Hare and Naperville all in one night, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it wasn't one night. That was two nights. But still, it's ridiculous.
I
All
mean,
right.
I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
His father was a magician, so he can just zoom wherever he wants to.
Think there's a lot of like suspend your disbelief in this book.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just got to try and do that.
Or not, because people seem to like so far we've done a whole episode, and I can say that people are enjoying this. So hopefully they will enjoy this even more as we continue our journey into the year
I
of the
mean,
Dresden.
there's been some thoughts.
There's been some thoughts, and we have them. So make sure you follow along and follow us at Our Pod on all the social media platforms. That's OWWR Pod. You can also check out our website at ourpod.com, where we do post a lot of our different author highlights that we're trying to show off recently. And hopefully, I believe by this time, our TV Tuesday episode should have come out. So make sure you've checked out our TV Tuesday episode. Lauren and I did a deep dive into season one of Doctor Who. And it was a ton of fun to kind of revisit for me and a new exploration for Laura. So please make sure you guys are listening to that. And if you could choose to do so, tell a friend about us and
Yeah,
please
sharing really helps.
rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You get to rate each episode on Spotify and you can also comment in replies on it. We've had people comment before and it makes my day every day.
Yay.
So please do. You know, you can always ask questions there and we'll try to answer them wherever we can. And we also have a Discord if you're interested.
Yay,
We
Discord.
share lots on Discord. So please make sure you're going over there. We're everywhere. You have so many
I
connections
mean,
to us.
all the socials, all the places online. It's hard not to find us.
We're trying so hard to make it easy for us to find.
We're like Harry Dresden. You can't get away. We're everywhere.
Just popping up going, my father was a magician.
We're following you to O'Hare Airport. We're there.
We're there. We're right there in the great parking lot, because apparently there is one, I guess.
We're inviting you to 7-Eleven to meet us and then not showing up. We're always around.
And assuming you'll just find us at our house, question
Yes.
mark. But yeah, please follow along and join us next week as we finish the plot of
Yes.
Stormfront. I've only been reading as we've been doing episodes so far so that I can
Interesting.
be covered in mystery. So I have
I
no
feel like I've
idea.
read this book so long ago.
Oh, see, and that's why you forgot about his psychic connection.
I think I've tried to block things out.
Right. All right. Well.
I have a block. I have a mental block for Harry Dresden.
Well, you're about to have less of a block because I'm about to tell you more next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.